Welcome to Asset Protection Today with Attorney Bill Alexander. Thank you so much for being here with us today. I'm Jason Kong here with Bill Alexander. Bill, how are you today?
Life is good.
That's what we like to hear, Bill.
Hope it is for you.
It is. It is. And, you know, I'm always happy to be here with you, Bill. I always learn so much. And, you know, one of the things that I've learned on this program, because it's a recurring theme, because oftentimes when it comes to misinformation and misunderstandings, Medicaid is one of the top things on the list here. And that's something that we cover a lot because, you know, one of the more popular myths out there is that, hey, if I get rid of all my stuff and all my property, well, the government will take care of me. And, you know, if I'm having some health issues.
Well, let's talk in a broader focus. I mean, in other words, we're not just talking about Medicaid. We're talking about long-term care, financial assistance, and when we can get it and when we can't. But one of the worst mistakes that so many people make is based upon the belief if they get rid of all their property, in other words, if they typically, the typical situation is we want to transfer it to our kids now so that we'll be eligible for care and the government will pay for it. Okay. And the problem is that in most cases, in almost all the cases, not all of them, but in the great majority of cases, the government is going to say, no, you're not eligible for anything. Sorry. And so it's pretty sad because of the myth that if you get rid of your property, the government will come in and pay for the care you need. And in most cases, that's just not true. And so it's really important for folks to understand when they can get assistance and when they can't. And one of the things that I try to get people to understand is the fact that our safety net for long-term care has a huge hole in it. And, you know, my expectation is it's not going to get better. It could get worse. But frankly, there is a responsibility on each of us to, number one, take care of ourselves, take care of our spouse, and try to stay out of, you know, stay at home. Try to obviously there are times when we need assistance, and not due to anything that we did or didn't do. But the fact is that seniors do have issues. Sometimes it's because of their own lifestyle, and sometimes it's they lived a perfect lifestyle, but they've had extremely unfortunate circumstances. So not going to go there. But the fact is that we all want to stay at home for whatever care we need. And of course, if we're married and we have a spouse that's in good health that can at least assist in taking care of the things that we can't do for ourselves, then that helps a whole lot. And I always enjoy my senior married couples where they may not be in perfect health, but they can make do to take care of each other. And oftentimes those situations are such that when one spouse dies, then the other spouse really does need a lot of assistance and can't take care of themselves at home anymore. Now, can we take care of situations like that with good planning? Absolutely. But the fact is that there's so many folks that think, if I just give it all away to my kids now, that will solve my problem. And the fact is that in more cases than not, it doesn't solve anything. Now, you also have to understand that making gifts to anyone, children, grandchildren particularly, creates problems. Now, number one, if you like, if the most important asset that a lot of folks have is their home, or in some cases, it's a farm or it's land involved, you know, those kinds of things. And the fact is if we give property to our loved ones prior to our death, then the income tax basis that we have, and oftentimes this property that we're talking about, we've had for many, many years, it's appreciated a lot over those years. And if we give it away, then the family members that we give it to have a very low tax basis. And what that means is that when they sell that property, they're going to pay a lot of income tax, capital gains tax, because their basis is low and it's appreciated and they sell it for a nice dollar amount. And oftentimes, particularly if it's our home, we have a huge exemption for our primary residence. So if we wanted to sell our home, we could sell it with no income tax. You know, there's, for a single person, the exemption's $250,000. For a married couple, it's $500,000. So fact is, oftentimes those exemptions make up for the appreciation in the property. So, you know, good tax planning is a big part of it. But where is the real risk for most people? The real risk is the fact that we're not eligible for financial assistance at most levels of care. Well, the first level of care is home care. And of course, to get Medicaid at home to help us with long-term care needs, that particular program is based on being categorically needy. In other words, we have to be very low income, less than $1,200 a month, and no assets to speak of. So what I'm getting at is that most of us have a Social Security check that exceeds that minimum amount. So if we have income that exceeds those low income caps, then we're never going to be eligible for that assistance at home. And guess where do we want to stay? We want to be at home. And the next level is assisted living. You know, in other words, we can't be at home. We need assistance on a regular basis. And our only option, and I don't like this because I like other options, you know, and I think there are some other options, but assisted living is an area where most of us cannot get financial assistance because our income is just a little too high. And okay, so what am I talking about here? I'm talking about a program that most people call Medicaid, but it's actually not. It's a state program called Special Assistance. Now, if you want to call it Special Assistance Medicaid, fine, go ahead. But the rules are completely different for special assistance than for Medicaid. So number one, you got to know, all right, well, what does special assistance actually potentially, if you're eligible, pay for? Well, it's a program designed to help people who can qualify at the assisted living level. And the assisted living level, in almost all cases, includes memory care. In other words, almost all memory care is actually at the assisted living level. Rules are a little bit different, but the fact is, I need to tell you about the special assistance program because most of us will not be eligible for financial assistance. And if you're not aware, assisted living and especially memory care are very expensive. And so it's the kind of thing is if you've given everything away, are you going to have any money to pay for that care when you can't get financial help? Well, let me tell you how special assistance starts when we come back from a break.
We'll dive into that. It's a fascinating discussion and something that, you know, typically isn't on the top of our minds, but having this information when you need it is so critical, because the wrong information or going on some of these myths or half-truths that we've talked about can really cause a financial catastrophe for you. So if you're interested in learning more, one, stick around because we're going to cover more, but two, be sure to sign up for the free WG Alexander & Associates webinars. The morning session that's going to be happening on Wednesday, September 11th is going to cover long-term care assistance. This is covering Medicaid, VA benefits, information that is so helpful for families who are dealing with a long-term care crisis. Know what to do, what not to do. This is all covered. It's an educational session. There's no cost associated with these. It's just a wonderful opportunity for you to learn more and to help cut through some of these myths and half-truths. To attend, it's very simple. All you have to do is go to wgalaw.com, click on the seminars button at the top of the page. There you can register online for free to attend on Wednesday, September 11th. There's also a phone number that you can call here for the office. It's 919-256-7000. 919-256-7000 if you'd like to speak with someone and register for the free WG Alexander & Associates webinars. Again, happening on Wednesday, September 11th. We're going to take a short break, but we'll be back with more on long-term care issues. You're listening to Asset Protection Today with attorney Bill Alexander, and we'll be right back. Welcome back to Asset Protection Today with attorney Bill Alexander. You can go to wgalaw.com if you would like to schedule some time to speak with an elder law attorney, have some documents drawn up, or maybe have your documents reviewed. It's a great idea if you've never had them reviewed by an elder law attorney. Go to wgalaw.com. There you can also find information about their free webinars. You can learn more about long-term care assistance, which we're talking about in length today. You can also find information about asset protection and trust planning in their free webinars. These are done the second Wednesday of every month. We just wrapped up a set of webinars this past Wednesday, but the next set of webinars is happening on Wednesday, September 11th. They are free to attend, no cost associated. Just need to register in advance. Go to wgalaw.com and click on the seminars button at the top of the page. I'm Jason Kong here with Bill Alexander. We are talking all about long-term care issues. And Bill, we were having a discussion on special assistance in North Carolina.
Well, absolutely. And I want to get to that. But I also want to add that next month, September 11th, yes, we will do our normal monthly webinars. And of course, ever since COVID hit, we have enjoyed doing those webinars, and they have been really helpful to folks, because the fact is that people could get online, didn't have to leave their home. They could even be wearing their pajamas if they wanted to, and be able to get a lot of information. But I am very hopeful, and the reason I'm mentioning it now is that by September 11th, that I will also be able to organize an in-person seminar. I suspect that I will do that seminar that evening on September 11th. So we'll actually have webinars in the morning and a webinar in the afternoon, and hopefully a seminar in Raleigh that evening. And so I'm excited about getting back and being able to meet folks face to face who actually can get out of their house and want to get out of their house and do a seminar. Now, it's not going to be a seminar where folks come to dinner. We don't do that. we hope to feed you in an educational sense, But you're not going to get dinner on us either. So it's kind of thing. So we hope folks will plan to come out and join us for a seminar. Now, I can't give you any more information because, truthfully, I don't have all of those things taken care of yet. But I'm excited about trying to get that together by September.
That's exciting. So stay tuned, and we hope to have more information for you soon.
Okay, so let's talk about special assistance Medicaid, if you will. Now, so the first thing is people have to understand the difference between assisted living and nursing care, because Medicaid, the real Medicaid, federal Medicaid program, actually does cover nursing care for folks who need serious care. But nursing homes, you have to be pretty sick, unhealthy, not necessarily bedridden, but needing the care of nurses. So it's not just CNAs, if you will, who can help you with activities of daily living. You have some medical issues that need care. Now, assisted living, on the other hand, and there are lots and lots, there's more assisted living facilities out there, particularly in this area, than nursing homes. But assisted living, and now part of the problem is they don't call themselves necessarily assisted living. Some do, but many don't. And oftentimes the nursing homes don't say, we're a nursing home, by the way. Oftentimes they're called health and rehab centers. So it gets confusing for us not knowing what license a facility holds. But it's important to know what type of facility it is in order to know what program actually covers it. Now, any type of rehab that follows a hospital stay where Medicare is paying for it is a skilled nursing facility. I can tell you that because that's the only way it works. And your Medicare, not Medicaid, Medicare will generally cover that rehab or most of the costs of rehab. But assisted living facilities are folks who generally can't stay at home, but they need assistance, sometimes a little bit, sometimes a lot, but they need assistance with what's called activities of daily living. And so what are activities of daily living? Typically, they're things like getting dressed, or in the evening, getting undressed, taking a bath or shower, being able to get up and down out of bed or out of a chair, being able to walk without assistance, being able to prepare meals or to be able to eat or cut your meat up or things like that. Going to the toilet. Those are the kind of things that are not considered nursing home issues. Those are assisted living issues. And so, and of course, the fact is that more seniors need assistance with the activities of daily living than they have serious health issues that will put them in a nursing home. So special assistance, a state program, not a federal program, is the program that covers assisted living and memory care. Now, the problem is, and this is very, very important for folks to understand, most of us are not eligible for financial assistance. Now, that's really important to know because most of the assisted living facilities in this area start, you know, their charges start very low end, $3,500 or $4,000, and might go up to $8,000, $9,000, $10,000, depending on you know, what level of care you're in, or whether it's memory care. And memory care tends to be far more expensive than regular assisted living. And it also depends on the facility. You know, the newer franchise facilities tend to be more expensive than the older privately family-run places. You know, it just, so it varies a whole lot on what type of facility. But what's keeping us from eligibility? It's our income. It's not the fact that we have no property. It's our income. And so there is an income test. It's a means-tested program, just like Medicaid is, but the rules are very, very different. And so for regular assisted living, if our income, so think about when I say income, think our Social Security check. And if you have a pension, then your pension check and Social Security. So in essence, our gross income cannot exceed $1,354.50. Now, I said gross income. So, assuming that you're on Medicare, in other words, you're 65 plus, which, I mean, most of us would be on Medicare as a senior. So we have to subtract, or in essence, to get our gross income, we have to add our Medicare premium to what our check is. And so our Medicare premium this year for 2024 is $174.70 per month. That's what they deduct out of our check. So we have to plus up what we actually receive by a minimum of $174.70 in order to get our gross income. And that's assuming also that we do not have any income tax deductions from our Social Security. Because if you have income taxes taken out of Social Security, then you have to add that back in as well. Because they're looking at what's your gross Social Security check before any deductions whatsoever. And most of us, our Social Security check alone, not including any pension or investment or rental income or any other stuff that we might get, is taken out. So if our, now, when it comes to planning, if we have rental income and investment income, we can actually do things to move that away from you. However, we can't do anything with your Social Security check and or pension check. So if your gross income exceeds $1,354.50, you're out of luck. You are never going to receive assistance as it relates to special assistance to take care, to supplement what you have to care for assisted living costs. Now, what about memory care? Now, memory care, the income cap is higher, which is a good thing, because more people can actually qualify if they're unlucky enough to need memory care. And so what's that figure? Again, we're talking gross income, not net income, but it's $1,736.50. So again, you have to look to see if you're having any income tax deductions and, of course, your Medicare deduction. If you're a normal person, then your Medicare deduction will be $174.70. Now, when I say a normal person, I mean because Irma is a lady that none of us like, but if we had high income 2 years ago, then Irma requires us to pay more for our Medicare premium. And so, our Medicare premium might be a little more than $175 a month, but I mean, it can actually go up to almost $500 a month premium if your income 2 years ago was much higher than it might be today. So Again, $1,736.50 is the income cap for memory care. And if your income is over that cap, you will never, ever get financial assistance for care in a memory care unit. And the fact is that the majority of us are over that income cap. So you better factor that in to your long-term care planning as it relates to whether you give all your property away, because more often than not, that's a real negative. Now, in some states, it might make sense to do that if you have trustworthy children. But in North Carolina, we have so many more options than they do in other states. And so but the bottom line is so many people fall into the big hole that's in the safety net because they have no money, they have no property. They're paupers, but their monthly income is too high to receive care. So they fall into that hole, and they're basically in a pickle because their income isn't enough to pay for the care they need, but their income is too high, so they're not eligible for any financial assistance. So there you go.
And that's the reasoning for having these webinars, so that we have information about what is available and who qualifies. So if you're looking for an informational resource to learn more about types of programs like special assistance and how we can hopefully find some assistance when it comes to paying for a long-term care, you can go to wgalaw.com and click on the seminars button at the top of the page. There is an entire webinar dedicated to long-term care assistance. Covers Medicaid, VA benefits, forms of financial assistance for families dealing with a long-term care crisis. If you would like to attend for free, just go to wgalaw.com and click on that seminars button to register for the upcoming webinars on Wednesday, September 11th. You can also call the office if you're interested in registering for free. Go to 919-256-7000. 919-256-7000. We're taking a short break, but we'll be back. You're listening to Asset Protection Today with Attorney Bill Alexander. We're back after this. You're listening to Asset Protection Today with Attorney Bill Alexander. Find more about WG Alexander and Associates by going to wgalaw.com. wgalaw.com. Schedule some time to speak with an elder law attorney or find information about their free webinars done the second Wednesday of every month. Next set of webinars is on Wednesday, September 11th. If you would like to learn more about long-term care assistance or asset protection and trust planning, this is a wonderful opportunity to do so for free. Go to wgalaw.com, click on that seminars button at the top of the page. I'm Jason Kong here with Bill Alexander. We are talking all about long-term care issues, and in particular, we've been having a discussion related to the special assistance program.
Yeah. Now, actually, there are times, particularly for married couples, where special assistance can be fantastic, because it's not terribly unusual for you to have one spouse who has really good retirement income, and the other spouse, normally the wife, but sometimes it's reversed, has very, very little retirement income for one reason or another. Oftentimes it's the type of employment they were in, or they were housewives for many, many years, or didn't work a whole lot. They were rearing the children, not those kind of things. Or they may have been in they may have owned a little company that was cash type of situation where less income was reported. So their Social Security check is very low and they don't have a pension. So what happens when you have something like that? Well, the good news is that, so let's say, take for example, you have a spouse who has $2,500 a month of income and the other spouse only has $700 a month of income. Well, guess what? $700 is under the income cap. So if, and I'll just, in this instance, the normal situation would be, this would be the wife with the low income. Well, if it's the wife with the $700 of income who needs assisted living care, then in that event, her income is lower than the income cap. And they only look at her income. They don't look at the husband's income when the husband doesn't need care. Now, they will look at all of the assets owned by both, but they're only going to look at her income. So, quite frankly, in the event that this couple has adequate documents, in other words, the kind of documents that elder law attorneys provide their clients, where we can move property around when we need to, then by frankly, I've never had a case like that where I could not get the wife on special assistance regardless of how much money they had or how much real estate or how much property. I've always been able to get that low-income spouse on special assistance if they needed care in an assisted living home. Now, same situation, can you get care at home? And the answer is no. So that's unfortunate. But in the event you have that type of scenario, yes, we can provide assistance. Now, if that same person is single, in other words, there's no marriage, but let's say in this case the single person, man or woman, doesn't matter about gender, has $900 a month of income. Certainly not enough to do much with, but can you get special assistance under those circumstances? Well, then it will depend on whether or not there are any assets. And quite frankly, it can be difficult for a low-income person to be because in essence, there's really only a couple of things that you can have in terms of property and qualify. Now, you can have a home and the home will be exempt. Now, to protect it, from Medicaid estate recovery and the like, you have to have the right documents in place. That's where an elder law attorney can make sure your home is protected. You can have a vehicle, one vehicle, and that would be non-counted. And otherwise, you can only have about $2,000 in the bank or less, can't have more. You can have a funeral plan for yourself, and that's about it. I mean, there are a few other little things like up to $1,500 of life insurance. That's not very much. But a funeral plan, a vehicle, and a home. But if you have anything more than that, then the likelihood of being eligible would be nil. And, of course, there is a three-year look back for special assistance. And no, I'm not talking about Medicaid. I'm talking about special assistance, a three-year look back for having made gifts. So that's pretty important for folks to know. But the key is, if you need care in assisted living or memory care units, it's not Medicaid you're looking for. So many people think Medicaid is Medicaid, and it's, for all of these different things, and they're different programs for different levels of care. So the first thing you got to learn is, what are the different levels of care? And which care level do I need, so you can determine whether or not you can get help, under those circumstances. Now, people should know by now, if they need nursing care, they can come to our firm and we'll get you on Medicaid. You know, that if middle class families should be prepared, and we can help them with that, and we do. Now, there's also another thing that I hear all the time, which has to do with basically getting rid of assets, which I have heartburn against, and for a lot of different reasons. But one thing I hear all the time, heard it this morning actually from a client who basically said, can't we use an irrevocable trust in order to get eligible for Medicaid? And so I'll say, you're talking about a Medicaid asset protection trust. I said, yes, I can do those trusts. I've done them, but I don't like them because we have other options in North Carolina. And what I have to say is the fact that, yes, in many other states, a Medicaid asset protection trust might be one of the few ways that you can actually get eligible and protect your assets if you need nursing care. But the fact is, in North Carolina, there are other options that oftentimes work better, far better, because, like I said, oftentimes folks will never need nursing care. And, of course, there's a five-year look back for Medicaid. So what does that mean? That means that they're going to look at anything you've transferred out of your name for 5 years from the date of your application for Medicaid. So obviously, if you're transferring property into an irrevocable trust, a Medicaid asset protection trust, you're not going to be eligible for any kind of assistance for 5 years. And if you apply for Medicaid in the fourth year or the third year, which is another huge mistake that people make, you'll have a sanction for having transferred all that money or property or real estate, whatever it is, that might go on forever. I mean, because it's not, your sanction doesn't end after 5 years. It's based on how much did you give away when you gave it away. And so the point is that you could create a sanction that's much longer than 5 years, depending on how much you transferred into the trust. Now, here's the other thing about a Medicaid asset protection trust that it is what I don't like. You cannot create an irrevocable trust and name yourself or your spouse as a beneficiary. So guess what? Who's going to be your beneficiary? Well, obviously it can't be you. So it typically is going to be your children and or grandchildren if your grandchildren are older. Now, what that means, however, is if you've transferred most or all of your property out of your name, then your children have to basically take distributions from the trust themselves, and hopefully they'll turn around and use some of it for you. So, no, I'm not real high on those kinds of trusts. So in North Carolina, there are other options that elder law attorneys can bring to your aid to make things work out for you and your family.
And if that's something that interests you, get a hold of the elder law attorneys at WG Alexander and Associates by going to wgalaw.com, wgalaw.com, or call 919-256-7000, 919-256-7000. We're taking a short break. We'll be right back. This is Asset Protection Today with Attorney Bill Alexander. Stick around.
Thank you.
You're listening to Asset Protection Today with Attorney Bill Alexander. WGALaw.com is where you can go if you want to schedule some time to speak with an elder law attorney. Bill, we're talking all things long-term care issues.
Well, here's the thing. Something that I try to instill in my clients, my senior clients, sometimes it's the children who have to understand the dynamics of what's going on. But a few do's or don'ts, if you will, for seniors. Number one, we talk about gifts. So, you know, the children and grandchildren need to lay off their parents in terms of we need some money, you know, because frankly, they're much better off inheriting it than they are when the senior knows that they are at risk for needing financial assistance for long-term care. Now, lots of folks don't fall into that category. They got plenty of money. They're never going to apply for Medicaid, and they don't need to worry about stuff like that. They can give money to their children, grandchildren, and enjoy all that. But for those, and many of us are at risk of needing assistance. And if we are, then we have to stop making those gifts, because if any gift made within 5 years of needing care is going to be penalized when it comes down to it. The other thing is if you're paying one of your children or grandchildren to take care of you, you're living with them, or they're coming to your home, and basically, if you're paying any of your family anything, there needs to be something in writing saying, I'm going to pay you this much for doing whatever it is you're doing, whether it's rent, whether it's care, whether it's reimbursements for food and transportation, whatever it is. It needs to be something in writing. Otherwise, DSS will count it as a gift. That's bad. The last thing, this is transformational for a lot of seniors, stop using cash, because going to the bank and getting cash where DSS can't follow it basically means they will treat it as a gift to your children, and you don't want that. So use a credit card and pay it off every month, or a debit card, or some way that you can not use cash.
Some great tips that otherwise, you know, fall into that category of you don't know what you don't know, and that's why it is important to have some guidance when it comes to these issues. If you would like to get a hold of someone on the team at WG Alexander & Associates, speak with an elder law attorney, you can go to WGALaw.com or call 919-256-7000. Quick break and back. This is Asset Protection Today with Attorney Bill Alexander. Don't go anywhere. This is Asset Protection Today with Attorney Bill Alexander. Be sure to register for the September webinars happening on Wednesday, September 11th. If you would like to learn more about long-term care assistance, Medicaid, VA benefits, as well as asset protection and trust planning, you can do so for free by registering at WGALaw.com and clicking on the seminars button at the top of the page. You can also call the office. The phone number is 919-256-7000, 919-256-7000. That is going to do it for us today. On behalf of Bill Alexander, I'm Jason Kong, thanking you so much for listening to Asset Protection Today with Attorney Bill Alexander. We hope you have a wonderful day.